Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at That Conference on the That Conference stage. It feels like we're camping.
It does.
We have like a lovely chat about SQL Server and stuff.
It is 90 degrees outside, but let's huddle around the campfire.
There's like a, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's like a crazy spider back here. So those that are afraid of spiders, so, and then we have, there's a rat back there. Not a real one, but like a plastic one.
Is this going to be like being on one of those Survivor shows on TV where I'm going to have to spear it with a stick and eat it? There is a bacon bar later.
That's right.
Let's save our energy for that.
That's the thing. Look, the bacon bar is right after this. So if this goes by really fast, maybe that's why.
Maybe.
So Jess Borland, right?
Yes.
Tell us what you do.
So I'm a SQL Server MVP and consultant based out of Wisconsin. I have spent the last few years working on getting SQL Server databases to go faster, so high performance systems, whether that's changing code, changing indexes, changing database design, changing hardware, right? Like whatever the best way to do that is. And also a lot of high availability and disaster recovery.
Fantastic.
I do a lot of architectural building of those kinds of systems, which I think are super important because a company's data is the company these days, right? Like you're not a business without your data.
Absolutely.
So the safety of that, the integrity of that, that's a huge part of my, my job and what I'm passionate about as well. And lately I've been getting more into the Azure space, especially because Microsoft has made such huge strides, particularly in the last year with like the Azure SQL database. And now they've announced like the SQL data warehouse and the Azure Data Lake, so there's a lot coming out on that front as well.
So you're speaking my nerd talk. this is my peoples right here. We're the, I am a data guy as well. I love data.
Excellent.
I studied machine learning and working with large sets of data. And so we're going to do some nerd talk here.
Okay,
so
excellent.
You did two talks, right?
I did two talks this week, yes.
What was the first one?
My first one was SQL Server Index Knowledge for Developers.
Okay.
Right, and my whole premise on that was fundamentals. We're getting into football season now. And as you know, in Wisconsin, football's kind of a big deal around
here. Are really big up here. It's fantastic.
And you think about, you see them play for, what, 60 minutes on a Sunday, but you don't realize that what they're doing the whole week prior and the years prior is fundamentals. Basic blocking, basic footwork, basic cardio, basic weightlifting. And it's like that with SQL Server and programming, right? It comes down to the basics.
Okay.
I can learn the new shiny things about Azure Data Lake, but in the end, that's still going to need indexes.
Sure.
I can learn all I want about the column store indexes and the new in-memory tables. In the end, we're going to need indexes on that to make it better. So I decided to approach it from, you know, what questions as a consultant have I gotten from developers over the last couple years about how to make their servers go faster, and then apply that knowledge in their language.
Okay.
It was a big hit. It was great, right? Indexing is so crucial to SQL Server.
So for those that don't know what indexing is, why don't you give us a little primer on what an index is and why it's important?
Okay, so the most typically used example is the phone book. But what's a phone book these days?
I use those to set my potted plant on outside.
I think it's more of a like a cookbook where you have either a list of things that you already have in your house that you want to cook with, or you know you're hungry for something and you have to find all of the ingredients and learn how to prepare it. And you organize that by opening up a book, and at the back of that book it has a list of, you know, beets, beef, you've got carrots, right? You have whatever other things people eat. Bacon.
Right, yeah, of course.
Bacon.
We have a lot of that stuff.
And it's going to show you, you know, what pages that's referenced on and what stuff it's referenced on. It's just a more efficient way to get the data that you need instead of having to read through every page in that cookbook. When we apply indexes to our data, it's the same thing. We're telling our database, we want to organize this particular set of data in alphabetical order by first name. Or we want to organize this set of data in descending order by the date that it was entered. So our most recent data is at the top. And when we have that internally, SQL Server is going to be creating some structures that just help us access that data faster.
I see.
So good indexing is the basis of good performance for any application that touches it. And it, the best thing about indexing your database is it's platform agnostic, right? You don't have to worry about what programming language you're writing in. You don't have to worry about what framework you're using.
Because it's at the database, right?
It's at the database level.
I see.
And no matter who writes the queries or what language you're writing them in, because that's at the database level, it's going to perform better.
So now that we know what indexes are, now we need to start talking about, well, what is it that we index? Because obviously you don't want to index everything, because now it's like you're indexing nothing, right?
Exactly.
So we got to pick certain columns or certain data. How do you what we need to index?
You have to know what your program does. You have to know what queries you're running. Good thing a SQL Server has some built-in tools to help with that. You know, I even did a poll in my session, which was, how many of you get to design every system that you have ever worked on from the ground up and you know exactly what queries they run? No hands get raised.
Yeah.
Okay, who starts a new job and they end up supporting a legacy system that's been around for 7 years with a database that some other guy created? And everyone raised their hands.
Sure.
Thankfully, SQL Server has some built-in tools. We can run a query to see all of the existing execution plans. Execution plans are a feature of SQL Server that simply tell us what query was run, what objects were accessed, and what it does to access that. So we can use that tool to find out what queries are running. That tells us right there what we should be indexing.
Right.
I also talked about the missing indexes feature of SQL Server. It's built in, and you can run it again. You can run a query against a set of DMVs, and it'll tell you specifically.
You said DMVs, what's that?
Dynamic management views. So they're kind of a set of built-in system tables and views. They just store information that you might not see because it's not tied to a specific database. So we've got some, when you run queries, SQL Server in the background is kind of thinking, well, I'm gonna read just all of the data in the table. But you're not returning all of the data in the table, and you're only looking for things where the last name starts with the letter F. So if you created an index that was on the last name alphabetically and you included the phone number in that index, I could make this query 75% faster. So Microsoft has built in some tools to do that. And so one of the things I did in my session was show a couple of scripts to mine that information out and make it useful for developers.
That's interesting. Are those scripts available somewhere we can look at?
They are. So the URL for my session slides for this week is tinyurl.com/levelup, as the name of my talk was Level Up Your SQL Server Index Knowledge.
That's awesome. So once you have your indexes in there and you've done some analysis, obviously things change in the database.
They do.
How do you know when to sort of move your indexes over or to make changes?
I swear you were sitting in the back of my session taking notes so you could ask questions.
Well, we're the same people. We're the same data people.
So you've got it right that data isn't, right, your data isn't static and your applications aren't static.
Right.
We're adding new features. We're changing the search parameters on our application. We're removing old things that are no longer used. As our data changes and as our application changes, our indexes need to flow with that. So there's another set of system tables and views that we can use. The index usage, there's, give me a moment, there's index usage and index physical stats. Yes, it's in my scripts that I just mentioned. And it actually tells you, you know, how many reads have queries done from this particular index? How many times has it been written to? So you can keep a running tally of which indexes are used the most often. You can see which ones have never been used.
You could probably plot them too to see like this one's going down, this one's going
up. Yeah, exactly. And you can also, the other big thing that I emphasize with indexes, people don't realize that every time you have an index on a table in SQL Server, and then every time, so say we have just our basic like clustered index, which contains all the data, and we add a few non-clustered indexes, the ones that are targeted to those specific searches, like those specific recipes that I talked about. Every time we insert a row into our table, or every time we update a row into our table, if we have a bunch of non-clustered indexes hanging out, that also has to be updated. So where you think you're doing just one insert or just one update, you might be doing 7 writes or 10 writes, one for each of your non-clustered indexes as well. So I tell people you really have to pay attention to those index usage stats to to look for indexes that are written to significantly more than they are read from. Because they're not unused indexes, but they're what I would consider underused or underutilized indexes. And that's just as bad for performance, and they're taking up just as much space as unused indexes.
So you might have gone in and some dude's just like, well, we have all sorts of indexes everywhere and everything seems to be really slow. It's because you're writing to all these indexes.
Yes.
But you're not using them.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you also had a talk on Ask Me Anything.
I did. So one of the cool things about that conference here is we have open spaces all day, every day. And I said, after getting a few random questions in my session, all right, I'm gonna have a SQL Server Ask Me Anything today after lunch. Had a nice group of people show up, all developers, of course, because that's what we got, but that was cool. I love hearing the developer side of the SQL Server story. So we had a really good discussion. Indexes were a main topic of conversation. Now, one of the developers said, my guys came to me and they said something about indexing a view to reduce locking, and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. So we get to talk through the fact that, you know, there is this thing called an indexed view in SQL Server. It's really great for performing this function. This function is reducing I/O on queries that touch many tables. And I asked him, like, is that the problem they're trying to solve? He said, no, they're getting a lot of blocking and deadlocking. And I said, no, that means you're adding another index. Now you're gonna have more blocking, more locking. Yeah. So we talked through other solutions for that. And that's a really important thing to ask when working with the database. Like, what problem are you trying to solve? Indexes are not always the answer, which is important. I also got a couple of really good questions from people that are using older versions of SQL Server. Now that Microsoft's on this two-year release cycle, right? We had 2012, we just had 2014, we're already looking to 2016. And developers want to know, like, why should I upgrade? Mm-hmm. And it's something, so I've come to realize this, and I hope I don't burn my foot here on the fire.
No, be careful, this is really
fiery. it is a valid question from, something I've come to realize is that companies don't buy SQL Server just to have a database and then build their apps around it.
Yeah.
Companies buy an application or build an application that has a database in the background. So as a SQL Server consultant, as a SQL Server DBA, I'm there to support the infrastructure, but I'm not the primary reason that we're picking SQL Server. So I really have to talk to the developers and sell them on the new features of SQL Server. Why is SQL Server going to make your application better? Your application is what the business wants,
right?
Not just a database. To the business, data is data is data. So we talked about some of the big improvements in 2014 for things like in-memory OLTP. So in-memory OLTP is really an entirely new database engine, and tables no longer have locking and blocking on them, which means we've gone from being able to maybe run tens of thousands of transactions a minute to millions without locking and blocking. It's not going to solve every performance problem.
No.
It's really high transaction systems. But there were a couple people in the AMA that were like, that might actually work for this one case
problem,
that I have. But even one problem that it can solve is a problem gone from the business. It's enabling the business to grow that much more. Other things I talk about are how Microsoft has given a lot of love to Standard Edition SQL Server in the last couple of releases. One of the things I frequently hear all the time is, my SQL Server system is I/O bound. It's always an I/O problem. Well, I go in and I look at all of the stats and I realize you have 500 gigs worth of data stored in this database. When SQL Server does anything with that data, whether it's reading from it, whether it's writing to it, it has to pull it into memory first.
Yeah.
And developers might not know that. If you don't know the internals of how SQL Server works, you're not going to know that. So you have 500 gig database, you're regularly reading 150 to 200 gigs of that a day, and you have 16 gigs of memory.
Yeah.
You know, it's that like funnel effect. Yeah. So I tell people, put more memory in your servers, and with 2014 Standard Edition, Microsoft doubled the amount of memory you could have access to from 64 to 128 gigs.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They also included a new feature called buffer pool extensions. You have to have a local SSD in the server, but what you can do then is keep memory as the write cache. It's almost essentially like having a write cache and a read cache now for SQL Server. Anything that's being written to will stay in RAM.
Uh-huh.
But things that are just read-only, they'll, if something needs to be written to and needs that space in RAM, SQL Server will flush it out to the buffer pool extension, this
SSD.
File that's on SSD, which is still many times faster than traditional spinning disk. And so it keeps it as kind of a warm read cache instead. And that's available in Standard Edition and Enterprise Edition.
That's awesome.
So I've kind of been trying to talk developers into seeing it as a, you know, in addition to the new windowing functions that are offered, in addition to some of the new T-SQL features, there are legitimate enhancements to the infrastructure that can benefit you without you having to change a line of code.
Well, that's awesome.
So that's how I've been, that's what I've been talking about this week.
I feel like I could talk to Jess for like 6 hours. I mean, we're like the same kind of people. We'll have to have you talk more.
Would love to.
All right. So this is Jess Borland. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter all the time. My Twitter handle is girlgeek, G-R-R-L underscore geek. And my blog is at lessthandot.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me. Thanks for coming this week. It was great to meet you.
I love being here. We've learned a lot. I feel like we could ask you more, but we're running out of time and there's people like filing in for the
bacon bar.
All right. Thanks for watching. We're here in Wisconsin Dells for that conference, having a little fireside chat with Jess Borland. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.